Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Talosive Tech Podcast. Once again, joined with Nick and Randy. How's it going?
Woo!
Hey!
Doing just as good as last time.
Good, good. Glad to be talking to you guys again. This is complete episode 28, I believe. Wow. Series okay, two. We're stacking them up. Of course, part two of series two. Oh, no. So we've got a lot of numbers to keep track of. I can't wait for the DVD box set that we're going to release on Blu-ray as well. But regardless, how are you guys doing? What's up?
Drew, I need your help.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, no. Wow, we're jumping right into
this. Yes, we're jumping right into it. I need your help.
Okay. Okay, Randy needs help.
Everyone. Last time.
And you were there for me, buddy. So I'm going to be there for you.
This is not how I wanted to cash in that point, but you know what?
No, you fly all the way up to Butte County just so we can you can help film my wedding and help make videos, and I give you some buyer's advice. I think that's incredibly fair.
I mean, it's practically the same, right?
Okay, right.
So
right.
here's where I'm stuck with. Last time we talked about how I sold my iPad. And for the majority of 2018, I've been watchless. There lies in my dilemma. Mm-hmm. I am about to go return my HomePod because, as we talked about, I'm just not a fan of it. So that's going to be an extra $250 in my pocket.
Out the window.
Out the window.
Just throw it out the
that's
window.
That's it. I might as well. So my question for you, should I get the 256 iPad Pro, and I will be getting it with the keyboard case and pencil.
Ew.
I know. But so I would be doing that.
That HomePod will cover the price of the keyboard case.
So we're looking about like $1,400 total, I think.
Mm. Okay. Big purchase.
Big purchase. Big purchase. Or should I get stainless steel, not gold, just regular stainless steel, Series 4.
Okay.
I'm torn.
Yeah, that is a tough one. Most of the time people ask Apple Watch or AirPods, in which I always say Apple Watch. That one's a little bit more complicated, probably depends on the person. So you recently sold your iPad,
yes,
right? We talked about that last episode. Now, I also went without an iPad for many, many months in a row. But what I can confirm is that during the Pixel Challenge, when I did not have my Apple Watch, that was more noticeable. It stood out to my daily life, not having a watch after being used to a watch. And you've gone even further now without having a watch.
Right.
So I would say makes more sense to yourself to, since you just sold the iPad Pro, you haven't had an Apple Watch since very early this year, right?
I have been maybe March, April.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
I would say
I'm more detached from the watch than I am the iPad, and I'm like missing the iPad, but I know the convenience that I had with the watch.
Right. And that's the other complicated part is that the watch is cheaper than the iPad purchase. The specific iPad purchase you're looking to make would cost more, which simply means that if you go with the iPad, then the wait of not having a watch is going to be longer than that if you get the watch first. Then you have that leftover money. You're closer to getting your iPad back, which is why I would suggest getting the watch first, because that's something, despite you being creative or despite you doing work, the watch is something you're going to be using every day. You're going to wear that on the regular. And be managing notifications and doing activity tracking and using it with your phone. Whereas, yes, you may use the iPad every day. I personally think, maybe, and Sweeney disagrees, but I personally think the watch is used more than the iPad. So I'm always for the product that you're going to get the most use out of whenever people ask which one to get first, which is why I'm saying watch is going to get used more, so get the watch first. That'll be a more noticeable improvement than the iPad. And ideally, you want to get to both. You want both.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree with that 100%, Drew.
Whoa.
Randy, oh my
I
God.
Think that you should decide which piece of technology to get first based off of their screen size. So get the bigger screen first.
Oh, wow.
That's an interesting ideology.
That is very interesting. So let me ask you then.
I've never heard that before. So get a TV before getting a Mac? Like,
No, you need to get go get one of those Apple Store walls before you can get a TV.
So you're saying if Ann Sweeney that if Randy had an iPhone 8 right now, like his last phone, but he sold his iPad, you would recommend him get an iPad Pro over a 10R?
Absolutely. Actually, I still think you should go get one of those Apple walls. No, I
that's an interesting mindset. I've never thought of it that way.
I guess for good reason. There's so many. There's so many flaws in that. I
10S Max or 10R? Well, the Max has a bigger screen, so.
But I only have $800 in my pocket. Get the 10S Max. I just threw up in my mouth.
I don't care if you have to rob a bank. You gotta get the big wall first.
Now,
before you
okay.
Can...
So let me ask you this then as well, an add-on to the whole recommending the watch over the iPad. I am budgeting to get the stainless steel. But if I get the stainless steel, chances are I might be off, you know, going off of your strategy of delaying the next purchase. If I get the stainless steel, I might have to wait a little bit longer before I get the iPad. But with that being said, I've always had the aluminum one. I had the original Apple Sport, the Apple Watch Sport, the Series 0 one. So I've used the aluminum, not scratched. I'm not rough with anything, so I took pretty good care of it.
Okay.
It's just old. So
I think, if you were comfortable with that old glass, Ion X glass, then I don't see any problem with going with the aluminum ones. I've seen the aluminum Series 4 in person, and I honestly like the look of it so much, I kind of wanted just a second watch. I kind of wanted to just be like, what if, similar to watch bands, when you change them out, I just started changing out Apple Watches. But sadly, I'm not in a financial situation where I can make those kinds of decisions.
So but the common sure folk like me and
you
Nick.
You can buy an iMac Pro.
Me and Nick are the type of people who will switch out the bands. But when you make a telos of money,
speak
you just,
for yourself,
just,
Randy.
Just switch out the watch altogether. Wait, so if you like the aluminum, would you get the silver, the space gray, or the gold?
Oh, it's tough. I saw a silver aluminum Series 4, and I thought it was an addition because of how smooth and clean the aluminum was. I thought it was ceramic. Obviously, when you get closer to it, you're like, oh, okay, it's aluminum. But particularly, I was at our Best Buy once, and I looked at the Space Gray Series 4, and I just thought it looked so clean. It looked so slick. I was like, man, that looks like such a big improvement. And I was looking at my stainless steel going, this is good. It matches everything. I just really like the look of that aluminum Series 4. So I definitely wouldn't encourage you to close that option, because then you could get your watch now or sooner, and then be financially much closer to the iPad purchase, especially if you were used to having the sport watches and the glass didn't bother you at all. You weren't scratching it. It wasn't bugging you. For me, it was bugging me. So that's why I made the upgrade. But if it wasn't bugging you, I don't see why you need to get stainless steel. Plus, you have a 10R.
I do.
So aluminum and aluminum.
Well, now
that would match better.
Let's hold the brakes here for a second. The 10R is. I will upgrade my phone. I'm the type of guy, and maybe I am unique in this. I don't think I am, but I'm the type of guy that I trust my gut that I will be upgrading my phone every year. And so with that, and this being just a small refresh this year, I saw more value spending as less money as possible for the greatest camera I could get. I got the 64 gig 10R. That was the cheapest thing I can get to get such an amazing camera, front-facing and rear-facing camera. And that was the only thing that was a priority to me. And I got the screen real estate back, or then some. I got a bigger screen real estate from the 10. So it was a win-win for me. Next year, I don't know if that's the case or not. If we have something like that again, I mean, it's a discussion I'm willing to have then. But I do not justify spending $1,100, even though I would love to have the 10S Max, when I can put that towards something more... productive, in the sense of that I want my ecosystem back. And if this was a case of the 5S and the 5C, then of course I would have got the 5S equivalent this year. But the 10R, I don't have any complaints for it. I do miss 3D Touch. That's the only thing I'm going to complain about.
Sure,
so
sure.
Outside of that, no complaints. So with that thought process, I will buy the phone up front and try to sell it, you know, 10 months from now instead of 12 and get some type of return on it. And off of that, that's been my strategy for the last 3 years. Apple Watches and iPads, I've held onto them for at least 3 years. I've had the Series 0 the day it came out. I had the iPad Pro, the first one of the 9.7 inch, the day it came out. So those things are a bit longer term value for me. Like the iMac, I've had this iMac 4 years as well. So, I mean, those type of things, those aren't annual upgrades. I am willing, all this to say that I am willing to put a little bit more money up front for the longevity of it. But I do hear what you're saying in regards to the aluminum did me fine last time. Sure, I got natural wear and tear scuffs on it, but it wasn't like gashing or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you this. If someone like me, in the sense that I like to travel a lot and I go around and I bring my work with me, I don't have a MacBook. My iPad was my media editor that I would use. So I don't use it every single day in the sense of trying to push it to its full potential. But when I use it, man, do I use it. My watch is just a daily convenience. Would you prioritize convenience over functionality?
Yeah, obviously, obviously it's your call, but and you know yourself better than I do. But for me, anyways, the primary work I do, which is video editing and uploading videos, has to be done on my Mac Mini or iMac Pro. And to me, that work gets done when I get to the office and when I need to go, and I need to travel somewhere or I'm on the move. My work doesn't follow me around. I can't edit my tech videos on the iPad. I probably could if I started buying the right accessories or the right cables. But I didn't buy the iPad Pro so that it could edit my content. That wasn't what I was looking for. It was more a more multitask ready, compatible, more versatile, more options version of essentially what I use my iPhone for. Is it's just kind of blowing that up and doing more with it between video thumbnails, where the Apple Pencil is really helpful. So it's an essential part of my workflow, but your workflow obviously can be very, very different. Maybe the iPad, you can do all of your primary work on it. So if that's the case and you see yourself traveling often, then yeah, you know the answer then at that point. You know which one you're going to get more use out of. I guess just for me, though, iPad Pro is really just doing all the things I do on my phone, but much better. Like I probably could do my video thumbnails on my iPhone. In fact, when I didn't have an iPad for those past couple months, that's what I did. And it worked. It wasn't great, but I could do it.
Because you had the biggest screen, Drew.
Right. I got the biggest screen. But Ann Sweeney, I was much more inconvenienced when not having an Apple Watch compared to not having an iPad because the iPhone could do
Green Bubble.
Yeah. Well, there was Pixel as well, but before that, like I went without the iPad for much longer than without the watch. And not having the watch, the thing is, everything I use my iPad for, there's a more inconvenient way, but slightly possible way of doing it on my iPhone. It's more steps, it's more complicated between switching between apps and accessories that work with it, but for the most part I can do everything that the iPad did on my phone, just way slower, whereas nothing the iPhone could do could replace what the Apple Watch did. So I guess that's my argument, is that you know, you already have an iOS device. It's not great for the pro stuff that the iPad Pro is capable of, but it can sort of get it done, whereas your iPhone can't really replace the purpose of that Apple Watch, which is to just be an accessory right at the wrist to manage notifications and activity. And I've gotten so used to it now that when I don't have it, it feels like I'm more tethered to my phone. I'm always checking it. I'm always looking like, oh, who's contacting me? Oh, what's going on? To the point that having an Apple Watch, I actually find more relaxing because I know when it's a useless notification versus a important notification. Whereas I guess the iPad doesn't. They're very different markets.
You bring up a good
Those
point,
two
though.
Products are and I, very different purposes.
I was set up. My first focus is that I want my ecosystem back. And you're right. I have an iOS. I don't have watchOS in my team here anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I might have an answer by the end of this episode. Just needed to get that out there and let that resonate.
I'm glad we complicated it for you.
Thanks, Nick.
Hey, I mean, I still think you should get one of those Apple walls that they have in the Apple store. Or just get one of the OLED walls, the Samsung walls. Yeah,
the bigger screen.
We will not say Always that word on this show.
What?
So,
Samsung?
And Sweeney, if Randy wants to replace all of his video editing with an iPad, and the options are 1 terabyte 11-inch iPad Pro versus 64 gig 12.9-inch iPad Pro, you would say that the 64 gig is the better option.
Yeah, because the bigger screen.
What is this?
But you're the big storage guy. you have half a
Says
terabyte.
The guy who has half a terabyte.
You have to have both, guys. You got to have the biggest screen and the most storage.
That's the point of the difficult question.
Am I ever going to fill up the terabyte on my iPad? Not yet. But
yeah, you probably will. I mean,
you got 12 gigs left.
I mean, my phone's
full.
You'll
find a way. I also, can we just point out for a second how annoying it was when everyone was reviewing the new iPad Pros and they all kept calling it a $2,000 device, even though they definitely did not have to buy the $2,000 version. It was annoying the crap out of me. Everyone was like, okay, you can't even plug this in for $2,000. It's like, okay, look, it starts at $800 and it has the same CPU. It has the same promotion. 90% of what you talked about is still available on an $800 version. Yet all of you went to the store and went 12.9-inch, 1 terabyte, and cellular, and Apple Pencil, and keyboard case, and I'm like, okay.
And that's Apple's fault.
And the 30-watt charger, and the extension cable.
I did
cable,
something similar like, with the Pixelbook, because I got the maxed-out Pixelbook you could get, like $1,700 setup. But you know what the difference is? The only differences between all those Pixelbooks was I got one with a far better CPU than all the others. It's not the same case on the iPad. You can get the same CPU on every configuration. So for them to make the argument, like for my argument, I was complaining about the lag and the performance and the clunkiness of it despite the high-end hardware. That way, when I reviewed my unit, I could say, well, you can't argue that I got the base entry model. You can't argue that I had an inferior one and that the maxed out versions would be better. That's similar to arguments I'm having with people right now about the Pixel Slate. They're saying like, Pixel Slate's pretty good. Just don't get the entry model one. Just get the one with the actual Intel cores. Those ones will be good. The Intel i5s or whatever. That one won't lag. But yeah, the base model ones are stupid. I'm saying, nope. I've used Android tablet. I've used Chrome OS with i7 quad cores. It doesn't change anything because they don't optimize it. Whereas people on their iPad reviews kept calling it a $2,000 device. I'm like, that one is. It doesn't have to be. Most people won't get that one.
That's an interesting point about the whole processing. You could, I never thought about it like that. You could get the $800 one and have the exact same horsepower and have the same.
Yeah, same A12X is on all of them. Same promotion. Same biometrics.
You know what I was thinking about was the
different
RAM
performance.
I thought one configuration had higher RAM than the other, but I think I'm just thinking about
The terabyte model has 6 gigs.
Okay.
It doesn't change anything.
Not that you need it.
From the speed tests and the multitasking tests I've watched, the extra RAM is really only there so that it can handle the extra storage in the background. Mm. So they added the 6 gigs of RAM not as like a bonus. They added the 6 gigs of RAM because 1 terabyte with 4 gigs of RAM was going to be significantly slower management than all the others. So they actually added the 6 to make it fair, even though it sounds unfair.
Yeah.
But
interesting.
So, yeah. For the most part, though, performance-wise, you're getting equal across all storage configurations.
That's where your money should go to. Your money should always go towards the performance first before anything else, with the processing and also with...
No, gotta go to the bigger screen, guys. Come on.
With read and write. Like SSD, they all of them have flash storage. So that's... I can't ever go back to, like, you know, actual disk writing. That's too... It's too much moving parts. But I only look for in any type of configuration, phone, whatever. I mean, so now everything's more mobile, it's not as applicable. But I do look for processing first, followed by the storage configuration for the SSD. Mostly,
right.
How much more less moving parts can we get? And... the strength of those parts. So I can't spend I wouldn't put 2000 towards a Mac, but I put 2000 towards the iMac, but that was very strategic in the sense that I was using it as a powerhouse for audio and video engineering and everything like that. But iPad is not that. iPad is what you said, it's a more intricate iPhone, and we're I think we always come back to this conversation, but I think it's just important to reiterate that, like, we are not in the post-PC full effect the same way we were able to get rid of floppy disks and transition over to CD-ROM. Like, we're not in that just yet. We're still in the early ages of adoption, which is why we still have some stuff that will give you headphone jacks or give you the older interface of whatever Android is trying to do. But the point is that, like, we're not there yet. And so because we're not there yet as people, it's not a PC killer, it's not a PC replacement yet, but what we are is we are seeing, you could put an A12X and a MacBook Pro and get same competitive processing. Grant, I know that we're moving towards that, what, in the next couple of years, that the MacBooks are going to get their in-house processing chips anyway, but every year we're just blurring that line more and more, and it's not going to be a light switch where one day, okay, get rid of your Macs PCs and now pick up your tablet. It's we're doing a slow rollout. We're doing it slow.
Oh, and Apple knows that too. That's why they're still making Macs.
We're
doing
the opposite of Windows 10.
If they truly believed the iPad was going to do everything a Mac could, then why would they keep making it?
We're rolling it out slowly.
They would stop selling iMacs and MacBooks and just say, everyone get the iPad.
Yeah. I mean, so we're...
But they don't do
that. We're not there yet. But we will get there. It's going to happen. Mac will be around for many, many years. Think about it like this. Think how long it took for us to get away from command line interface to the GUI interface. And even once we had...
You want to say that one more time for me?
No. And so... And that rolled out in the 80s. In the early 80s. And it took until 2000, the mid-2000s, before we were able to make it completely pro everything. We were able to get that to the masses, not just for the studios, but for average Joe Schmoes like you and I. We are able to now do all that off of this new interface, this newer interface over based off of the old command line interface. That's what the touch interface is going to do. Maybe it's not going to take the same amount of... It's not going to take 3 decades because technology, it increases quicker. But we are going to have that same transition eventually happen. We'll get rid of the graphical user interface, Nick. And and we'll have completely touch. It's just... people are kicking and screaming. Headphone jack. Ah, people are going to go kicking and screaming. But, the future waits for nobody.
That's right. And they'll have their options. There will still be,
of course,
there will still be competitors making that stuff.
So,
but
go ahead. I was going to change topics.
I was just looking at the pixel slates, and it's funny to me that everything is locked in. Like you can't get a good CPU with lower end storage. Basically, the way they justify the higher prices, and there's an incredibly drastic price jump between these units. You notice something like on the Apple iPad configurations, like it goes, I think for the storage options. It's like 1,000 for 64, then an extra 150 for 256, and then an extra 200 for 512, and then an extra 400 for 1 terabyte. So, you know, you're getting twice the storage for an extra $400. It's a little bit progressional.
Right.
Whereas on the Pixel Slate, it starts with the two bottom options are Intel Celeron, which are barely even CPUs. It's just like
just barely on a silicon chip.
Yeah, yeah, like a literal celery CPU. And that starts at 600 for 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage. And then 700 gets you 64 gigs of storage and 8 gigs of RAM. Then the middle option, finally you get a decent CPU, the Intel Core M3. This is the M3 processors. Now, granted, this is an 8th gen, but this is a CPU that you get in like the base 12-inch MacBook. Mm. We're talking that, except without the macOS optimization. We're talking just M3 in a Chromebook, basically, without a keyboard. And then jump up to $1,000, get an Intel Core i5, so now like a normal, decent computer CPU. And then they go from $1,000 with 128 gigs of storage to $1,600. Mm. A $600 jump, and all you get is 256 gigs of storage, Intel Core i7, and 16 gigs of RAM for a $600. The reason these price jumps are so drastic is because it's not just storage now. It's now you have to choose between performance and storage and RAM, whereas the iPads, it's basically just storage. Those are the only, and cellular. Other than that.
And color.
Mm-hmm. Well, the colors aren't different prices, but yeah.
Well, you know. I think they make the gold ones out of gold. That's why they don't have any.
Oh, my God. Dang it. I didn't think of that. I did get the 30-watt USB-C charger for the iPad Pro. That's really? Been nice. That charges very quickly.
Wait, which is the one that's out of the box? Just...
It's an 18-watt.
Oh, okay. Huh.
And they just recently started selling that separately. Originally, you could not get an 18-watt charger from Apple. They wouldn't sell it until they launched the clear case, which I also don't understand why they didn't sell the clear case when the 10R came out. Why did they have to? Was it not done yet? You could just see Johnny Ive looking at it like for hours just trying to figure out. This is the best clear case we've ever designed.
Oh my goodness. Oh, how do you delay a clear case? Yeah.
Randy, are you going to get it?
The clear case? You know, my girlfriend just asked me that last night. She said, how come you don't have a case on your phone? I was like, why do you have one on yours? Because her and I got 10Rs together, and she got the white one because she's all about elegance and simplicity, and she likes all that stuff. And so she put some, you know, she's got that old bumper, the bumper that was like on the 4, and then we saw it kind of make a surface, a resurgent again like in the 7, but the bumper with a glass back, so that way when you set it down, it doesn't wobble with the camera protruding from it, and it's clean. It's a clean thing. She goes, how come you don't get one of these? And the bumper is actually pretty nice looking. She got it for like, I don't know, $16 or $20 on Amazon. I was like, that's something to consider. But I told her it's because I'm extremely stubborn, and I'm doing a caseless challenge this time. Last year when I had the 10, the 10 was a pocketless challenge. I never put it in my pocket. I am now doing a caseless challenge.
That's tough.
Yeah. You do wireless challenge, and I'm like, well, I'm going to do pocket list or something. So my strategy, my method to the madness for that, and why I don't have a case or anything on my phone now, is because if I consciously know that it is exposed to the elements, I'm going to hold on to it that much better, treat it with so much more care. And right now it doesn't have a single, it looks like it's straight out of the box. It's basically a pocketless challenge again. It's never in my pocket. I have it out at all times, but I don't want to put a case on it because I get careless at that point. But it's so hypocritical. Well, not even hypocritical. It's a paradox, because without the case, it's accidents happen. I'm going to drop it. I have dropped it, and, you know, thank goodness I have carpet. So it's not like the Pixel 3, where if it lands on a soft pile of feathers, it's going to crack or scratch or something. But you know, I, yeah, I overall, I just like, I like the simplicity and the elegance of no case, because they're all kind of protruding and they're ugly and they're boring. And I'm not going to spend $40 for a clear piece of plastic.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, you want to know something even more sad, Randy?
Huh.
I spent like $80 on a piece of leather and plastic that I don't use.
I mean, if you're not using it, I'll take it.
I've been doing caseless. I mean, there's been a case on it before, but like every single, I haven't put that case on in weeks. And, you know, my phone's doing fine. And since I got it through the Apple upgrade program, I have Apple Care on it. So I figure I'm gonna go caseless until something major happens, like a crack. Hopefully not. I'm pretty careful with it, though.
Yeah.
But once that crack happens, you get two cheaper repairs. And so I'll get it repaired, and then it'll go in a case for the rest of the time that I have it.
So why
that's my strategy.
Why does Apple still sell a 5-watt power adapter for $20 on their store?
Because actually, okay, so I know it sounds stupid, but I've heard some interesting opinions on this.
And Sweeney just jumped to respond to that one.
Yeah,
by
no,
way.
I'll tell you why. You sit down, Randy.
Because Apple's greedy and they want to make money. No, so actually, it's better for lithium-ion batteries to charge slowly. So when you put a lot of power through them quickly, it degrades their battery life. So that's why you see Tesla's battery packs. They charge at a very slow rate, especially when you have it scheduled overnight. You won't get the speed that you get out of a supercharger. And even then, they don't fill it up all the way. That's just Tesla. And that's just the kind of limitations of a lithium-ion battery.
So you think that's Apple's reasoning for still shipping the 5-watt longevity?
So if you think about it, the best way to charge your phone is the one that's going to make it last the longest, right? So whether or not you're done sometimes, in 5 minutes or 10 hours, it doesn't really matter. You want Apple wants you to have a product that lasts a long time. So they're going to include the best charger for the phone. And the best charger for that phone is a slow charger. It'll fill it up slowly. And, you know, most people get through the entire day. I get through an entire day without charging my phone. And I plug it in at night. I've recently switched to a semi-portless challenge, so I have a bunch of Qi chargers. And it just charges at night, and I wake up, it's 100%. So I don't care if it's, you know, Drew, I think this was your point a couple of years ago. You don't care if it's done at midnight or at 6 a.m. As long as it's fully charged by the time you wake up, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And so I think Apple saw that and knows that the 5-watt charger is protecting the battery some more. And so they include that and kind of encourage people to use a slower charger, even though faster charging is a thing. So like, you know, if you need a faster charger, it's there. You can use your MacBook Pro charger. That's what I do all the time, and bump it up to 100% real quick. But for everyday usage, 5-watt is safer for the phone.
I've never heard that argument before.
Yeah, I haven't either. I thought the reasoning was they couldn't find a way to get a charge brick that was fast, but also as tiny as the iPhones were, because they always take up only one outlet, whereas usually all the competitors' fast chargers are all fat, and they take up more space on surge protectors, which can either go side to side or up and down. So I thought their reasoning was size, and they wanted to figure out how to make it like a fast charger that was portable first, as portable as the 5-watt. But at this point, I wouldn't be against them just making a 5-watt, or maybe bump it up to something tiny like 7 or 8 watts or something. It's the same size, but it's USB-C instead of USB-A. That's all I want.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Just that tiny change.
I mean, if they put the 12-watt, it's $20, just like the 5-watt is $20. It's the exact same price. And if you put the 12-watt in there, and I agree with USB-C. If you make a USB-C, cable management is a finicky. I'm not even going to get in that subject. But just if it's a cost factor as well, because I looked at it as the cost factor. It's like, oh, it's going to cost more. The Apple 12-watt is, I'm looking at $19, and the Apple 5-watt USB, $19. So
I don't know what the profit margin may be, but I imagine it's got to be pretty close.
So, yeah, you know, look. I remember using the 12-watt that I got from my iPad on my phone, and it wasn't, you know, fast charging, but it did charge my phone quicker.
Yeah.
So just bump it up that way. It's a small little brick. It only takes up one little slot in the wall anyway, so just kill it. Just, I don't think between 5 and 12 is going to make that much of a difference. Just let it die.
No.
It's got to go.
Yeah. But, and the 18 watt now, which is available, the USB-C power adapter is $30.
Yeah.
This is a tad more reasonable than the 30 watt USB-C power adapter, which is $50.
Oh,
and of course, these are just bricks. These don't come with cables. So, right. Like, to get a USB-C to Lightning cable, that's another $20. So you're still talking about like a $50 purchase on a charger if you want that fast charger with the iPhone. But
yeah.
I think it's definitely something that stands out compared to their competition, which is all shipping fast chargers.
Yeah.
So if I could make one quick PSA, I don't know if you guys remember, but that battery replacement thing that's cheaper until December. So anyone out there who hasn't replaced their older iPhone's battery for $30 might want to hop on that before the end of December.
Yep. It's getting near that time.
Because, you know.
And then, so what does it go up to after that? 40, 50?
I think it's like 79. Oh, wow. If I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, get on that.
That's about as much as Samsung's.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Cool. So did we ever answer your question, Randy, about the iPad versus Apple Watch?
I will give my answer at the end of the episode.
Okay. Ooh, we got to wait.
So it's like will any of the health factors of the watch sway your opinion?
Health factors as in like it telling me to stand up or breathe or the competition of closing the rings and stuff like that. I missed
the ECG.
I missed the competition.
Given you're the only person here who can use it.
Use what?
You don't have a watch. The ECG.
ECG.
Why can't you guys use it?
You have
because
to be
we're not 22.
Well, we can lie, but
yeah, I lied.
Randy's the only one who qualifies age-wise.
Wait, what's he doesn't the have age the watch. Thing? Explain that to me. Why?
Go ahead, Drew.
There's nothing to explain. They just when the app rolled out and you try to set it up, it says you have to be over the age of 22. And it's very easy to just lie. You can just turn back your birth date and then do it. That's what I did. But
same.
If you want to do it accurately and correctly, then Randy's the only one here who can do it.
Okay. But why?
I don't know. I've hypothesized things. Apple has made no statement on it. But my guess is that likely it has something to do with the accuracy, or maybe something like it was primarily tested at a certain age range, and they've discovered that it wasn't that accurate under the age of 22 or something like that. And also, most people who need electrocardiograms are later in life.
Yeah, but so then if it's an age
that many
thing,
heart issues.
Are they saying that, oh, because the most, either, you know, just humans, not even males or females, but just humans in general are Homo sapiens standards. We are finished developing by 25, give and take. That doesn't make any sense. Like, if we can,
the number is very arbitary. I'd agree with that. Like, but I realize
if it was a legality,
all I can say is that it's in such infantile stages right now. It's so new. Like, for one, this hasn't been something you could buy from a store before. Right. But it is FDA approved. It's only available in the U.S. So I imagine they're just rolling it out incredibly slowly so that they can get a lot of data on it, see how accurate it is. I already read stories. I don't know if you guys saw the stories, but there are people
Chris White tweeted that.
Yeah. They basically got the new app, immediately tested it, and it said their heart rate was irregular, and then went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you're right, you have a heart problem. And they were able to spot it like day one, literally, that this app is rolling out.
Okay,
so
I'm going to get my answer right now.
A success story.
I'm going to go get the Apple Watch first.
You could just get the watch and see if your heart's okay and then return it.
All right, so I was gonna save it to the end of the episode, but I'm gonna buy both. I'm gonna get the aluminum one and I'm going to get the iPad
and the stainless steel.
No.
Twist ending. Buys two Apple Watches
and the 11 and the 12.9 inch
Drew.
iPad Pro.
I'm gonna get the iPad and the watch. I'm gonna get the aluminum watch and the aluminum iPad and the stainless steel.
There
hey,
you go.
Would you get a stainless steel match. iPad? Is that something you would do?
Yes. Oh, yes. 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 Oh, yes.
Are
yes,
we talking
yes,
the whole back is stainless
yes.
steel?
Yes. Yes. Please. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
That sounds weird.
That is there, oh, Nicholas.
That sounds... No, we're
it doesn't
talking...
match my iPhone or Apple Watch. It is fascinating.
Yeah, but we're not talking one, like Lou. An iPad with a glass back. We're not talking about iPad with a glass back. You're saying the entire back of the iPad is stainless
whatever.
Steel.
Whatever. I don't care how if there's glass or just
I'd
all
have
stainless
to see it
steel
first.
Or what. I don't. I
would need to
want
look
something
at it.
Other than
it would
aluminum.
Be so heavy. I don't think it's. I love the feel of what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know, Nick. You hit, Nick is shaking his head.
No.
But see, a phone you hold in your hand more often.
Yeah.
It's like this. Whereas an iPad, most of the time you set it up and you're just tapping on the display.
But weight
so I can
matters.
Understand why,
20 pounds.
Weight does matter. And I don't want to be lugging around, you know, a 1980s cell phone. You big old, like I want something.
How about a stainless steel MacBook?
That's
ooh. Yes, please.
Nick, what's you're gonna have
okay.
neck muscles so big because you're carrying it in your backpack and you're gonna look like that from Jurassic Park.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Wait, you guys figure this out. I'm gonna be right back.
All right, but I think what overall weight matters, and so I get
yeah.
I get where you're coming from that you want everything to kind of match, but but weight, convenience above anything else. There's a gnat in my room. How's there a gnat in my room?
I'm sorry.
Oh, the net or a gnat? Because you're on the internet.
No, there's a gnat.
Oh,
a gnat.
Oh, God.
A gnat?
There's a gnat just whizzing by me. I don't smell, you smell.
So, and Sweeney's in favor of it just feeling glossy?
Sure. Matching my iPhone. If I could get my MacBook and my iPad to match my iPhone and Apple Watch...
Get
in
a 10R.
Silver stainless steel. I would love that.
Get a 10R.
No!
Oh, you think it's better than me?
No! No! You can't
just
get 512
everything.
With a 10R! Okay, Randy?
I think space gray would be the most universally supported. Get a,
it
get
is.
A black.
I mean, my iPad get and my MacBook match each other perfectly. That's nice. But I just wish everything matched everything.
Sure, sure. Okay. I can understand.
I can't. No, I can't. I can't
but
get on board with this.
Either way, though, the ECG, I don't, like, I imagine it has to be something they're just rolling out slowly. Maybe if it is accurate under the age of 22, they'll lower it. But maybe right now they're just trying to keep it extremely exclusive. Because if you use the ECG app, you'll see how many disclaimers there are. They're constantly
like 8 of them.
Now listen,
while it's
we don't
doing
know what
it,
we're
it's
doing.
Like, this does not detect for a heart attack.
That's crazy.
I just think it'd be so great if it told you. I mean, it would not be great, but after all of the warnings, it was just like, we can't detect a heart attack. You should consult a doctor. Don't actually use this as a main device. It's just a tool. You can't detect a heart attack with this. You can't detect, okay, first ECG test, you're having a heart attack right now.
Oh gosh! Yes, please.
That would not be good. But
you need to go to the doctors right now.
Contacting EMS.
I took this. I took this is not tech related at all, but it going hands in hand with health.
Okay, good. Moving on.
I got my. I did 23andMe, and I just got my results back. And I did the health. I did the whole packet, not just my ancestry portion, but the health. And it told me all the same disclaimers, like, hey, you know, talk to the, all that stuff. And it told me that the only thing that I have a potential higher than average risk of is gluten intolerance.
Hmm.
I got so, I went to In-N-Out right then and there, and I was like, I'm going to get gluten intolerance. When does this become a problem? Fake news. You're fake news. I don't like to say I want my money back. But... It would be interesting to see now that you can actually like in that app it really breaks down like based off a spit like ill. But
they're gonna clone
you
now.
They didn't ask for something
else.
They
have your DNA.
They didn't ask for blood.
They couldn't clone you.
They didn't ask for any bodily fluids. If I see another Randy walking down the street, then yeah, I got cloned. But they took my spit. they took my spit. And,
I could use another Randy.
Yeah, hey, the whole world can use more Randy. Do I make you Randy, baby? Yeah, do I?
They make 23 of you, right? That's how it works.
I'm done with you, Drew. That's okay. Terrible. That was in poor taste.
The next Randy will like my joke.
It's gonna by the 23rd one. Oh wow, that's a scary. I just went down a weird thought. Woo! No, it's too early in the day for this. I will talk offline about this. That I just had a really scary thought.
Got it. No worries.
This is not for the right podcast. okay. But yeah, so getting this, if I do the health tracking and it tells me like, it's going to check my raid and all that, but then I am now more interested in my health in the sense of just in the moment kind of readings. And I will say that last month I went the whole 30 days without eating fast food, with the exception of a couple days here and there. I was up in,
plug your YouTube channel.
Oh,
wow.
YouTube.com/RandyVasquez. Boom. There. Anyway. So I did a 30 day challenge. Right. And I documented the process. I did have some cheat days. Like when I went up to, Chico, I had, In-N-Out or not. I'm sorry. In-N-Out. I wish I had McDonald's just because it was a last minute thing, but
sure.
30 days, no bread, pretty much. I didn't realize how much bread was in fast food. I had like a lot of chicken here. I had rice and I cooked it a lot, but I will say my blood pressure, because I went to the doctor's beginning of this month, and it was just for a whole different reason. They checked all my stuff, and they're like, "Oh, you actually are a little bit healthier than usual." I was like, "What is that supposed to mean?" One, but two, I was like, "What?
What a backhanded compliment!
You change your diet?" I'm like, "I haven't had fast food," and they're like, "Oh yeah, those carbs, they get you, da 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 da, but your heart rate's low. Everything was like good." And then it made me think, like, maybe there's some truth with this whole results with the 23andMe, the whole just cutting out the, the processed food and all that altogether. And now checking my heart rate, I have become indirectly more conscious of my health. And I never cared about that stuff, but now I'm caring about that stuff. And I'm scared I'm going to put on this watch now. I'm going to go to the store today, come back, have the watch on. It's going to read and immediately tell me, that, hey, we detected that, you just did a fall or you're having a heart attack or something happened and I'm just breathing normally. And then I'm like, I'm freaking out. Guys, I'm broken. Oh God. And because I'm freaking out, the watch is freaking out because I'm freaking out, and it just does this vicious cycle. This is why you have to be over 22.
That Apple watch
and then I'm just going to run.
That Apple watch is so concerned for you. Like, you're breathing weird. You fell weird. Your heart's beating weird. Are you okay?
I tripped.
That's the next app.
Your heart rate
Watch
is low.
Watch OS 6.
You haven't breathed in a while.
Using AirPods in the Apple Watch Series 5, they're just going to detect when you're depressed and then get a notification that's just like, how's it going?
Hey.
Listen to some happy music.
Hey, Randy.
What's your vibe?
How you doing? Right, we noticed that your heart rate is increasing and you're panting. I'm just playing Red Dead. I'm sorry. I'm freaking out. I'm just getting excited. You seem remorseful about something. Yeah. Can you imagine that with the AirPods? Siri starts talking to you. Boop boop. Hey Randy, how you doing? Oh, that's.
It's like that movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
It's just like that. They just start talking to you. It's like. You look a little depressed today.
It's perhaps midnight a trip on to the a Apple Friday store in will September, fix things. And people are pre-ordering things. Your heart rate seems elevated.
Yeah.
Take a minute to breathe.
No!
Yeah, what if like they
the
start
phone!
Screen
the
time becomes
the
mandatory?
Website, the frozen.
When you're like refreshing the Apple Store app and your heart's pounding, your Apple Watch is like, you need to calm down, so it turns off all your devices. You're like, no, stop.
Oh. Wow.
Oh boy.
That could be bad.
There's a skid in there. There's
also what do you guys think of air power? Is it completely dead?
It's dead. And if it's
wear power?
Sorry, Drew, I can't hear you. We don't talk about fantasies and fake news. It's dead.
But it was in the paperwork. Dead.
It's too late.
I mean, I would buy one if it came out, but
I wouldn't.
I'm not sure what I'd do with it.
No, I don't use.
Because I.
Go ahead.
I bought two. So I've kind of been on a Qi Charger kick last couple weeks. I bought that Tesla Qi Charger battery pack thing a while ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I've been using that on and off. And I do enjoy Qi Charging, but I guess I've just always, you know, cables are there, so I haven't made a change. But I recently, kind of for my Christmas present to myself, I bought two, like, stand-up Qi Chargers. Okay. I don't remember which ones they were. I don't think they're the ones that you use, Drew. But they don't have a light in front, which is nice.
Perfect.
And so I've been using those at my desks and stuff, and the I think I enjoy stand. That a little more.
But
get the $80 Pixel Stand.
The air power, the air mat, the what the, I don't even know what it's called anymore.
Air power.
Yeah, air power.
Apple juice. Come on.
Apple juice. It missed opportunity. They could bring it back and rebrand it as Apple juice. That would have been awesome. But
Apple juice coming in late 2020.
No, don't.
Why don't they just make apple juice?
But the mat, this was a lesson they have learned about teasing something before releasing it, thinking it was the same thing as the AirPods or the iMac Pro. Like, they keep teasing to get the hype up, and it's only good if you deliver. And now the credibility is a bit shot. Not in the sense of, like, I don't argue it's... I lost the excitement for it. The people who bought the Series 3 when they had a perfectly great Series 2 because they thought they were going to, oh, cool, I got this new proprietary feature coming that I can use it. It's... Drew, you and I both just got AirPods. I lost mine a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And I went out and got... I'm using them right now. I went out and bought them also on Black Friday. Just... I was... Whatever. I don't care about the wireless charging case anymore. The excitement for it, I realized it's just like... How practical would I be charging? Is it convenient? Sure. But in that sense that instead of having a little mat, you know, say like this big... If you turned my whole desk into it and something like that, that's a conversation we can have. Yeah. But I don't want to spend the money to get a case that's wireless, the watch that is wireless charging for it. Or, I mean, all the watches are, but you know what I mean. The point is to tailor everything to fit this mat that didn't come. The reliability of this mat is now, I don't trust it just because with the delays. I don't care. I won't spend $200 or $130 or $3 or whatever. No. It's irrelevant. I have spent that money instead. I'm using a charging stand right now for my phone here. I got it by my nightstand. I got one downstairs. I would put that money and have it all throughout the house and have the convenience factor of just putting my phone down wherever I want because I'm not taking off my watch when I get it. Every single second to charge it like I would my phone, it's going to be on my wrist until the end of the day. And the whole, you guys have the watches, you know, they give you all day life. It's fine. You don't need to just like, oh, convenient, put it all down. Sure, cable management is cool, but it's not, it's not a necessity. I won't buy it even if it comes out. Just let it stay dead. Let this be a lesson. Don't overhype something. Don't underdeliver. And
exactly. Yeah. I need, even regardless of the size of AirPower, I need, if it's Face ID, I need it to be a vertical keystand.
Right, exactly.
I want it pointed at me. And the fact that you would pay extra and lay it flat to me is like, okay, you're just wasting my time. Now I have to pick up the phone every time to use it. Whereas on the Pixel stand, even, at least Google makes one. It's expensive, but they make one. I can still use the phone normally like it's an iPad. Like the angle of the Pixel stand is like, almost equal to that of what my iPad Pro stands up, which means that it's an amazing experience using both, especially on my desk because my phone is charging and I can have both of these devices off and I sit down on my desk, just tap anywhere on the display and they both unlock. I don't have to lift them, look at them a certain way or hold them a certain way so that I can unlock it with my fingerprint on the back or the side or the home button. The fact that I can just Face unlock is so much more versatile. The fact that you just tap and it goes is so much faster. And in order to support that, you need vertical charging.
And with the iPad now being out, that we know that they're not wireless charging iPads, you really don't need the mat. If we thought that, oh, the mat would charge the iPad. The iPad's not wireless. So the, I don't see I don't see the return on investment on something like that today. And
they got
too
ambitious.
Yeah.
They got way too ahead of themselves.
I'd rather get, you know, put that time and energy and make sure we have a good new, like, major refresh on the AirPods, not the incremental one that we might get in a couple months, but that real big, real design. Put your resource in that. Let's get some, let's just work, let's better improve what we have now instead of introduce a new, hey, here's also this. I don't like putting my phone down. I don't like it. I like getting what I've missed about having Face ID again, now that I'm back on the chain on that, is just looking at my phone and the notifications, just everything unlocks. I can see it. I can tap the screen. It just everything is right there, and it's very quick. Having my phone face down bugs me. It just bugs me.
Yeah.
I don't trust it. Right. I don't want to scratch it. I think I put it face down in my mind. I put it down, therefore it's about to get scratched. I don't know why I think that, but that's what I think.
Like my Pixel did.
Oh, geez. Did you get rid of that phone? Is it gone?
It's right here.
Keeping it?
I don't know what I'm allowed to do with it, really.
Did you go on his show yet?
I haven't done... No, he was busy when the challenge ended and said he would get back to me when he was more available, and he's yet to get back to me. So I don't know if he's okay with me giving it away or selling it or anything, but I still have the Pixel 3 from Google, and I still have the Pixel 3 from Aaron at For the Love of Tech. So I just have them around. I'll take pictures with them here and there, like Instagram pics, if I want to get all my iPhones together and I need another camera. But all my cameras are already in the picture, so I can't use an iPhone. So I'm just like, yeah, I'll grab a Pixel.
I do want to say, and this is the only thing I will say, that night mode thing in the photo is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's neat. No, I wouldn't buy a phone over that, but it's impressive.
I would not buy a phone over that. That's not worth what, $900? It's not worth the cost of it. But it being there, I look at it as like what do we call it?
Nifty.
Well, not nifty, but every year, what's that event that they do at the beginning of the year every year in CES? Right, concept. It's a good, it's a good concept. Yeah. It's a good concept, right?
Should be an app.
It's a good software thing that should be an app. I would pay money for the app, 100%.
Right,
that's cool.
They could be like Google's Night Sight app, which is like $5 on the App Store or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I would pay no more. And this is me, like, really in a weak moment of just like retail therapy, I would pay no more than $10, and that's on a good day. I think it's an app that should be, offered to everybody. And the fact that now that it's out there, competition's good. Now Apple's going to respond.
Yeah.
Apple's going to get something like that, and I can't wait. Samsung with their, variable aperture. Oh, well, that was a gimmick. Throw that out. Now they got to work on something.
Oh, yeah, seriously.
Can't wait.
Remember how the Samsung's usually like, we developed this thing that's never been done before, but we didn't stop and think, will it matter? Who cares?
Why, though?
Still, the S9 and the Note 9.
Why would I do that, though?
Did the Note 9 even get it? I can't remember.
I don't know.
The S9 was the first camera to get a variable aperture.
And the last one.
And no one cared.
Because why would you have the worst out of the two? Just have it always open, then.
Right, always leave it open. What matters?
No aperture, right? Just, come on, guys.
Right. Google's AI blew that out of the water. No problem.
Yeah.
The low light performance was like ever so slightly better. It made barely a difference. Did you know that the 10R got a higher DxOMark score than the S9 Plus?
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
I saw your video on that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's beautiful. I love this camera.
It's a wonderful camera.
I love the front-facing camera. I use the front-facing camera more than I use the rear because I can use... the portrait mode. I just
Yeah, 1080 60 too.
I love that. I don't film like you. I don't do the elusive of 60 frames for everything, but I do it when I know I'm going to slow something down and get that smoother, slower, and just having it up. I just, you know, I'm tinkering with like effects and stuff like that in Final Cut, and so,
And Sweeney, like, have you used portrait mode on your iPad Pro? That's the real question.
No, I have not.
Did you know it had portrait mode?
I've used Animoji on the iPad Pro, but not portrait
mode. Oh, I haven't used Animoji. Oh, that's not true, actually. I did.
We can do it during the call, can't we?
I can't right now, but...
No.
I called you on my Mac.
What is it?
Oh, no. It's...
Oh, no. Oh, Randy. This FaceTime group call just turned into Animoji City.
Nothing happened yet.
Which one is he going to be? Let's see.
Which one am I? Oh. Oh my God, I forgot I did this.
Oh my God.
Oh. It's his Memoji.
I'm wearing my glasses.
Tim Cook's favorite. This is so trippy. When it's like loading through a video call, it looks real. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hey guys.
It really does look like you, Randy. That's trippy.
It does look like me, yeah?
It really does look like you. It's got your glasses and everything.
Yeah. Take a screenshot of this one, Nick.
All right, let's all get on this.
I'm on my Mac. I can't use Memoji.
You know, I did take the time to build. Oh, this is weird. I took the time to build this out so it can look like, because I do wear the glasses a lot, and I got my little studs in the ear and the hairstyle. Like, yay!
iOS 13 idea. If they know you're connected to AirPods, they should add AirPods to your Memoji.
Oh,
that's
yes!
totally doable. Can't you see the little unicorn wearing AirPods and the T-Rex and stuff?
Hey.
Totally.
That would absolutely work.
All right.
Oh, my gosh, guys. For the rest of the day. I'm sorry to make everyone who's just listening to this.
I'm getting rid of this.
Listen to this.
Yeah, hang on. I've got to get rid of it.
We've come up on our hour, so good timing.
Oh, good timing. All right. Well, then I'm just going to write it out.
Do we have anything to say, Nick, before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Cool. Thanks. Well, thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you all. And we'll catch you again later. Peace.
Bye.